We begin the current daf Masechtas Bechoros daf Mem Vav. We begin 11 lines down at the top of the Yamud, where the Gemara begins the 8th parak of Masechtas Bechoros, parak Yesh Bechor, which continues on the theme of this Masechta of Bechoros, the laws of the firstborn. Now we're shifting from that of where we were speaking about the firstborn relating to the animals, now speaking about a different law of firstborn, that of the Bechor Adam, that as relates to the firstborn of the human species, that of the firstborn male. So there's actually two different laws that pertain to the firstborn, and our Mishnah describes four different types of categories in that halacha. And then the Mishnah tells us, yesh b'chur l'nachla. There could be a firstborn son for the laws of inheritance, which the Torah tells us that the firstborn son gets a double portion of the inheritance, but the ein b'chur l'kayin. But he will not be considered the firstborn son for the halacha of what's called pidyon haben, to give the five slum to the kayin. Now, then you could have b'chur l'kayin ve'ein b'chur l'nachla. You could have the inverse of that, where he could actually be considered the firstborn for having to give pidyon haben for him to the kayin, but he won't be considered the firstborn to get a double portion of the inheritance. A third category is b'chur l'nachla u'l'kayin, which is the classic firstborn, where he's considered for inheritance as the firstborn and for pidyon haben to give to the kayin, the five slum. And then v'yesh she'ein b'chur l'nachla u'l'kayin, you could have a firstborn that won't be considered the firstborn in the laws of inheritance, neither for the laws of giving pidyon haben. So the Mishnah first qualifies the first category. Izehu b'chur l'nachla v'ein b'chur l'kayin. What's this first category of that he's considered the firstborn for the laws of inheritance, but not for the laws of pidyon haben? So says the Mishnah, haba achar nefalim. If a child is born after a non-viable child, which the Gerasa takes out these words, alpha, p, and s, sheyatzer roi sheichai, where the head of this nephil, which is that he wasn't carried to full term, which in Talmudic times would not survive, if his head came out when he was still alive, for example, where there were twins, one of them is a nephil, where he's not what's called kalalu chadash, if he didn't make it to full term, and then the other one is a full term baby, then the head of the nephil, which is the non-viable child, his head comes out when he's still alive, and then comes back into the womb. Then his brother ends up coming out and being born first. So this second one, he's considered b'chur for the laws of nachla, because although the first one's head came out before him, that didn't cause the second one to lose out on being considered the b'chur for the laws of inheritance. Because although on some level the first child, the nephil's head that came out alive, is considered a bona fide birth, and therefore, as we're going to explain, that disqualifies the second one from having the laws of b'chur for the kayin. But regarding the laws of inheritance, it says in the pasuk, Reishis Einai. Who gets the double portion? The first one of his strength and vigor. But the word Einai could also be that whoever is that the father, the father's heart will pain if he dies, where Aina is like an Ainan, that excludes a nephil, where the father, although it's considered a birth, but since he's not a viable child, so although his head came out first, where the father wouldn't be pained that he dies, and therefore that doesn't give him the qualification of b'chur for the laws of the nachla. But regarding the halachas of the pidyon haben to the kayin, that exempts the second child from the laws of pidyon haben, because the Torah tells us the qualification of being b'chur for the kayin is peter rechem, the child that is first to open up the womb of the woman. Now this nephil, when its head came out, opened up the womb, and therefore that wouldn't make the second one into the b'chur for the laws of pidyon haben. That's one case. Another case, says the Mishnah, uben tisha sheyatza roishe meis, where it was a 9-month-old fetus, he went full term, but his head came out when he was dead already. Then it came back into the womb, and then his brother, the live one, came out. So that second one is a b'chur for the laws of inheritance, because here too, the first one is not considered b'chur for nachla, because the father's heart is not pained on this one, because he didn't make it through the birth. But regarding the laws of the kayin, the first one ultimately opened up the womb, and therefore the second one is not going to have the laws of b'chur for kayin. Now, the reason why we say the 9-month-old, his head came out when he was dead already, is because if the first one, the full-term ben tes, if his head came out when he was alive, then they came back in, and then the second one was born, and then he died, so then actually the second one would not have a laws even of b'chur for nachla after that first one, because the first one was not only poter rechem, but he was actually still alive at that point. And therefore he would be considered the b'chur, and the second one wouldn't be considered the b'chur for the laws of nachla. Another case, Hamapelis kimin behema chayev oif. If a woman miscarries something that looks like a domesticated animal, a wild animal, or a bird, that's the form that that miscarried child looks like. So regarding that, it's not going to exempt the second one from the laws of inheritance, because here most definitely the father's not going to be pained by this child, which doesn't even look like a child, looks like some creature. But again, this creature, whatever this child is, was paiter rechem, it opened up the womb. So therefore, the second one that comes out is going to be only b'chor l'nachlo, but not a b'chor l'kain. That's the Rebbe Meir. Now, b'chom ayim, they disagree regarding this last case. They say that's not considered even that it was peter rechem, and therefore the child that comes after that is not only b'chor l'nachlo, but even for b'chor l'kahuna, achi yehei boi mitzurus adam, until the miscarried fetus at least had the form of a human being, then they would be considered the peter rechem, and the second one would only have the laws of b'chor l'nachlo and not b'chor l'kain. Now, continues the Mishnah, Hamapela Sandal. If a woman miscarries a child that doesn't have a form of a face, Oishilya, or if it miscarries the amniotic sac, where we know that there's no sac without a child, it's just that it gets dissolved, and therefore it was Paiterechem, there was a child here, although we don't see it, that opened up the womb, Oishvir, or the actual skin of the child itself, the fetus, that's merukim, that's developed, where the Gemara Masechtas Nidah Chafim and Alpha explains exactly what is considered the development of the shvir, of the fetus, or v'hayitzim mechutach, or if the first one comes out broken up, cut up into different limbs, so it was Paiter Rechem, it's the one that opened up the womb, because actually if its head came out split up, and that only thing that came out was its head split up, actually would not be considered that was Paiter Rechem. And therefore, if the brother would come out before the majority of the limbs of this karabuan, then he would actually be not only b'chor v'nachal, but even for b'chor v'kain. So this case of b'yitzim mechutach is that the majority of his limbs came out, it just came out cut up. So regarding all these cases, ha-b'achareim b'chor l'nachal v'im b'chor l'kain, they're all including this first category, that the child that's born after that is considered the first one for the laws of inheritance, because the father's not dava, he's not in pain regarding this first child, which is not even like a complete child. But again, the second one's not going to be b'chayr for the laws of kuna, because ultimately this first child, whatever it was paiter rechem, it opened up the womb. Now, continues the Mishnah, Mishla hayu labanim, v'nasa isha shekfar yalda. If a man who never had children yet married a woman that had already given birth, now, this is where it comes important regarding to these two laws of b'chayr, regarding the laws of inheritance, the Torah makes it contingent on the father, because the Torah says, who's the firstborn? It's Reishis Oinai, the first of the vigor of the strength of the father. It's his first child. But regarding the laws of Pinya Ben, regarding the Kayin, it says Peter Rechem, the first one to open up the womb of the woman, of the mother. So here we have that it's his first child, but it's not her first child. Or Oidah Shifcha, says the Mishnah, even if, and this is the opinion of the Tanakhama, even if she had her first child when she was a maidservant, and she wasn't considered a bona fide Yisraelis yet, and then nishtachara, but now she's freed already. Or similarly, oida vitzka chavman is gairo. Or even if she had her first child when she was not Jewish, and now she went and she converted, and now regarding these two cases, but mishibas li yisrael yolda, now that she got married to this Jew, now she went and she gave birth, says the Mishnah, that this is also going to be b'chor l'nachla. It's still going to be considered the firstborn to the laws of inheritance, because ultimately this man didn't have any children, and it's dependent on him. But it's not going to have the laws, this child of the firstborn, to have Pinya Ben, because ultimately it's not Peter Rechem. He's not the first one opening up the womb of his mother, because she already had children when she was a slave or when she was not Jewish. Now, Rabbi Yisi Hagliliyami, he disagrees with these cases, these last cases, because he says, no, b'chor l'nachal u'l'kain, that this child is going to be the firstborn for the laws of inheritance and for the laws of Kain, because the children that she had when she was not Jewish don't exempt from the laws of Peter Rechem, because Shenema, the Pasuk says, Peter Rechem, in Shemais, it says, the opening of the womb, and the Pasuk says, Be Yisrael, which tells us, Ad Sheyiftu Rechem Yisrael, it's only the child that opened up the first womb of when she was Jewish, that is where the qualification is, and therefore, since this child is the first one, when she was Jewish, we'll also actually have the laws of Bechor L'kain. That was the first category, of Bechor L'nachla, but not Bechor L'kain. Now the Mishnah moves on to the second category, and says, the inverse of a case we said before, where he had children already, but the woman herself never gave birth. So again, that would be a case where we're going to describe a Bechor L'Kayim, but not Bechor L'Nachla, because he's a Peter Echem, but it's not his father's first seed. Even Niskairo Mu'uberes, where if she converted when she was pregnant with her husband, and she gave birth, that child is going to be the second category of being Bechor for the Kayin, because ultimately, when her womb is opened up, when she's Peter Echem, she's a Yisrael. But he's not going to have the laws of Bechor for inheritance, because the seed, the conception, which is the father's part, was Shaloi B'Kedusha when it was not sanctified, when the mother, who he's a part of, was not yet Jewish. And therefore, he doesn't even have the laws of inheritance, like the Pasuk says in Yecheskel Chav Gimel, the Zarma Susim Zeramtim, that the seed of the non-Jews, the Torah says, doesn't have any patrilineal descent, it's like not related at all. So therefore, he's not going to be considered his father's seed. Or similarly, Nishtach Mubaris, if she was freed when she was pregnant, that will be a case of that Bechor L'Kayin, but not Bechor L'Nachla. Another case is, taking out the Vav, Yaldehi V'Kehenes. If Abbas Yisrael has a firstborn son, and she gives birth together with a Kehenes, it's also her firstborn son. But we don't know which child is from the Yisrael and which one's from the Kehenes. Or similarly, he Ulaviyah. Her and a woman that's a Levi, who Levim, as we said in the first parak, also are exempt from the laws of Pinya Ben, of giving the five Salam to the Kain. Or he, the Isha Shekvar Yolda. Similarly, if her and the woman who already given birth, gave birth together, and we don't know which is her son, but her son has the laws of Pinya Ben, giving it to the Kain. So the Chiddush that we're saying in this case is that the husband of the woman who's giving birth for the first time has to give five Salam to the Kain. Because ultimately, whichever is his child, he's having his firstborn son. But that's what we're saying. This is a case of Veloy L'Nachlo, but this son will not have a laws of inheritance as being the firstborn, because we don't know which child he is of whose father to be considered the laws of inheritance to get a double portion. Similarly, a woman who didn't wait 3 months after she was removed from her husband, the Nasis V'Yalda. And then she got married and she gave birth. Now, Ve'in Yedua in Ben Tisha L'Rishon, Ben Shiv L'Achron. We don't know this child, which husband was it from. That's why we say usually after wait 3 months, so we could discern, and we know for sure if it's going to be from the first husband or the second one. Here, it could be a full-term 9-month fetus from the first husband, or it could be a full-term, which in Talmudic times, there was 2 times that a full-term would be in the 7th month. So we don't know from which man it is. So this too will be a case of Bechor L'Kayin. He's the firstborn to the laws of getting a pen to the Kohen, because either way, this is this woman's first child. He's a Peter Rechem, and he has to redeem himself because the parent doesn't have the obligation because we don't know which father it is. But Ve'ena Bechor L'Nachla, he does not have the laws of the firstborn for the laws of inheritance because he doesn't know who even he's inheriting from. And actually, the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean he doesn't have the laws of Bechor? He doesn't have any laws of inheritance at all because we don't know which is his father. Now, the Gemara continues on the Beis and says, which will relate to the halacha of our Mishnah, Shmuel says the following halacha. He says, "Ein haroish preita b'nefalim." The head does not exempt when it comes in relation to a non-viable fetus. Meaning, if you have what's called a ben shmeina, which is a child born in Talmudic times in the 8th month, it wouldn't survive. That's called a nephil. If his head comes out of the mother's womb when he's still alive, and it goes back into the womb, and then his brother comes out after that, that second child is going to be considered a bechor, even for the laws of a kohen. Because the head of the nephil did not be considered paiterechem, like as if it opened up the womb, until his head and the majority of his body would come out. Only then would that be considered paiterechem. But his head itself is not considered paiterechem. So it's my time, what's the reason? Because the Pasuk in Bereishis, when it talks about the mabul, that they're going to wipe out all human beings, everything, every creature from the face of the earth, it says, kalash nishmas ruach chayim ba'apam. Whoever has a breath of a living spirit in his nose, in his face, that's considered the definition of a human being. Now, what we see from the Pasuk is kol hecha de nishmas ruach chayim ba'apav, wherever there's a living spirit in his nose, in his face, meaning whoever is a viable creature, then you go ba'apav, you go after his face, which is his head, hu dechashav reishi, that's where his head is considered significant, because that's where the seed of all the breathing is, to be considered that, okay, if his head comes out, a child was born. But idach, however, if he's not a viable child, then loichashav reishis, his head's not considered significant. If the majority of his body comes out, that's considered already peterechem. But the head itself would not be. Now the Gemara adds, Tanan, we learned our Mishnah that said as follows. Our Mishnah said, Habachar nefalim sheyatzer reishichai. We said, if a child's born after the first one that was a nafal, which his head had come out when it was still alive, or uben tisha sheyatzer reishimeis, or if the first child that came out was a full-term child, but his head came out dead, so then we said that the second child is going to be Bechar for Nachla, but not Bechar for Kain. Now, says the Gemara, Ketani Mia, one thing, however, we learned in the Mishnah was, it said a case of a nafal, that what came out was Roshai. If its head came out, then it exempts the one who comes after that from having the laws of Pinya bent to the Kain, which is not like Shmuel's Halacha, who he said that the Rosh does not exempt if it's a nafal, and it has to be the majority of the body. Says the Gemara, my Roshai, what does the Mishnah mean when it says its head? It means Rubai, it means really the majority of the body of the nafal. So the Gemara asks, but then Melissa Rubin, then why did it say Rosh? Let it say the majority of its body, but that's really what it means. Says the Gemara, Bedinu di boy lele misne ruba. You're right. Really, it should have said the majority of its body. But the Aidi de kaboy lele misne seifa. But since the second case we wanted to say the similar wording that we spoke, ben tisha sheyotze reisha meis, we said that if it was a full term child, but it came out dead, its head came out dead, we're there. We couldn't say, although actually the halacha there is also the majority of its body, because we actually wanted to make an inference from that halacha, which is time of the Rosh Hameis. The reason is, if this second case of the Mishnah, that if it's the full-term baby, the first one that comes out, its head came out dead, oh, then we say that then the second one's going to be Bechar L'Nachla, but not Bechar for a Kain. But the inference is Haroi Sheichai, but if the first one, the full ninth-month one, if it, only its head come out, but its head comes out and it's alive, then the inference is Habachar of the child that comes out after that. I mean, its head came out, it goes back in, then the second child comes out and is born before it. We're saying the one that comes out after that, Bechar L'Nachla Nami L'Hab. The inference we want to say is that then the second one's not even going to be the firstborn for the laws of inheritance. Because the head of the first one that was a full term, a live child, is considered a bona fide birth in all areas. Had we said, which is the actual case, that if the majority of the 9-month child, it came out dead, the inference would have been, oh, okay, if the majority of its body came out dead, it's alive, then the second one wouldn't be a Bechar even for Nachla. But if, let's say, its head came out alive, then we would not have inferred to say that, oh, then the second one loses even the laws of firstborn for inheritance. But we know that the head of the firstborn, the head of the first one, if it comes out when it's alive, it's considered a full birth, even for the laws of Nachla. So therefore, Tana Reisha Nami Reisha, since we had to say the head for the second case to make the inference, so therefore we said in the case of the Reisha, by the Nafal, we also said its head, but really, it's not really just the head, it's really the majority of the body, and really the case of the Sefer too. And that is, although in the case of the Sefer itself, we say Reisha Meis, there also, the head itself of a dead child would not be considered that it's Poiter Rechem, it would have to be the head and the majority of its body, but we had to say head to make the inference, but if it's alive on the head, then the second one wouldn't be even Bechar V'Nachal. However, on this the Gemara asks, then the Maikam Hashemelon, then what's the Mishnah teaching us? Meaning, if you would say literally as the wording as we had asked that the word Reisha means specifically Reisha, so then the Mishnah would be teaching us a Chiddush. It would be telling us that if the head of a Nafal comes out, it's considered the Peter Rechem, exempting the second one from the laws of Pinya Ben to the Kain. And then you could say that although the case of the Sefer is really Rubai, but you, because of the Reisha said Reisha, so the Sefer also said Reisha. But if you say that the case of the Reisha is Lav Dafka, not necessarily the head, and you're saying that, like Shmuel, that the head of a Nafal does not exempt, and really it means Rubai, so then the Mishnah is not really teaching anything in the fact that it used the wording of Reisha, only the inference that we said regarding the case of the Sefer, that we wanted to say, oh, the reason is because the Ben Tess's head came out dead, but had his head come out alive, then the second one wouldn't have been even the Bechar for the laws of inheritance. Which is the Kiva Namapigli that would be telling us that since the Ben Tess, it came out alive, even if it was just Reishi, just his head, since it wasn't a Nafal, Havaleda, that's considered a birth, even though it came back in and the second one was totally born before it. If that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, but that has to get more about Tanina. We already learned this in the Mishnah Masechta Skulin Perek Behem Amakasha. The Mishnah says this halacha already, and we wouldn't need our Mishnah to say really the wrong word to make that inference if we already know this halacha from somewhere else. The Mishnah says, Haitzi, if the fetus comes out, its reishai, its head, at the time when they're about to slaughter the mother, So the Mishnah tells Ava Pishach Ziru, even if the animal, the fetus, pulls its head back into the womb, it's too late. I raise the kuyolet, it's like that fetus was already born, and therefore it's not going to be included in the halacha that it's permitted to the slaughtering of the mother. Halacha is, if there's a fetus inside, the slaughtering of the mother permits the fetus that's inside. But if it's born already, so it's not included, and therefore it's already considered born. So you already see this halacha that when the head comes out, it's considered like it's totally born. So why would you need our Mishnah to say that through that inference of saying the wrong word of Reishi? Now, Vachitem, if you're going to say, no, Ashmin the behema. That Mishnah in Chulin tells us regarding the laws of an animal when the head comes out alive, that's considered born. V'kamash malam ba'admin, our Mishnah is teaching us that the same law applies to a human being. Why? Why do you have to say both? Because the adam behema lo yolof. You would say you cannot learn out the laws of a human being from that of an animal. Why? Because the less law, behema doesn't have a praiser, doesn't have a long corridor, because the womb of an animal is not enclosed between the thighs of the animal. The legs are very far apart. So therefore, when the head comes out, it's open and revealed, and you could say that's considered a significant thing to say that that's already considered the birth. But by a woman, that her thighs are close together and it covers the area of her womb, you could say that if just the head comes out, that would not be considered a birth. So therefore, you would say our Mishnah was necessary to say this halacha. And so too, behemim adam le'alfam, we have to say that Mishnah, even though we're saying our Mishnah over here, because you'd not be able to learn the laws of an animal from the laws of a human, mishum dechasha parts upon them the day, because you could say, a human being just the head is considered a birth, because the face of a human is really where everything is. You see all his personality, character, everything's in his face, in contrast to an animal. So maybe only by a human would be considered, and therefore you have to say both. But still the Gemara says it's difficult because Hanami Tanina. But we already learned even regarding a person this halacha in the Mishnah, Masechtas Nida. Mishnah tells us, Yotze Gedarkin. If the child's coming out in the normal way, meaning it's coming to exclude if it comes breached, meaning if the child comes through the feet first, where then most definitely it's not going to be considered the child as born until the majority of the fetus comes out, but rather it's coming out through the head first. So says the Mishnah, Misha Yotze Rav Reishai, when the majority of the head comes out, the child's already considered born, even if the child then comes back into the womb and is not born until 100 days later, he's already considered born from that first day, and we already start counting the days of Tamen Tahara, which is related to what a woman has when she gives birth, already from that first day. It says the Mishnah, what's considered the majority of the head? As Mishatetze Padachta is when the forehead comes out, which is considered the majority of the head. It says the Gemara, to Yufta Dishmul. So that's a refutation of Shmuel. Because the whole resolution for him from the Halacha of Mishnah was, although it says like a Nafel, the head coming out, we see that it's Paiter, the second one. We said, no, it doesn't really mean Reishi. It's because the Sefer had to say Reishi. Why? Because we needed the inference to say, but if its head came out alive, then it would be considered a bona fide birth. We don't need our Mishnah's inference to say that. We already have from a Mishnah elsewhere. And therefore, obviously, that's not what our Mishnah is coming to say. And rather, most definitely, when the halacha in the Mishnah says the case of Reisha and Nephalim, and the Mishnah was dafk, was precise, which is specifically, yes, when the head of Nephil comes out, it is considered Paiter Rechem, exempted the second one, to Yufta, that's a refutation of Shmuel. Now, the thing on this theme of this previous the Mishnah that we just brought, so Amr Shimon Lakish, he says, Padachas, the forehead of a birth, of a child being born, pateres b'chal makom. That everywhere generally we consider that once the forehead comes out, it's considered a bona fide birth, which Gemara is going to shortly explain what does it mean b'chal makom everywhere. Chutz min hanachla. But one exception is regarding the laws of inheritance, where we say that the one coming after him will be considered the firstborn to the laws of inheritance, unless not only did the forehead come out, but the whole face of the firstborn came out, then he'll be the law of the firstborn. But if only his forehead came out, then actually the second one will be the law, the bechir for the laws of Nachal. My time, what's the reason? Because Yaakov Amar Rachman, the Torah, when it talks about the father defining who's his firstborn, who gets the double portion of the inheritance, it says that he'll recognize him. Now, you don't recognize a person unless you see his face, which that's the identity of a person, and therefore we see that regarding Nachla, that's different. The Metzach, the forehead, is not enough. We have to see the whole face. Now, Rabbi Yechonam, he disagrees. He says, no, Fila Nachla, the forehead, even for the laws of inheritance, is considered that it's a birth, because he says even from the forehead, one can recognize a person. Now, the Gemara asks on the wording of Rish Lakish, B'chamakam Lasuyimai, what does he mean to say when he says the forehead having come out is considered a bona fide birth in every place? What's he adding on with those words? Says Gemara, Lasui Hodutan Rabbanan, and it's coming to include this that we learned in the following brisa. The brisa says, Ki Yeris Shiyatza Padachas Vlada, a woman that converted, which the forehead of her child came out, B'yesa Nachris, when she was still non-Jewish. Now, what's important is that a non-Jewish woman, does not biblically have the laws of Tumah, of Nida, Ziva, and of Leda, of birth. But then, in the middle of childbirth, she goes and she, Va'achkech Neskar, and she converts, and only then is the child born. We don't give her the laws of the Yeledis of having days of Tumah and days of Tara. She does not bring a carbon for the birth because the fact that her child came out when she was still non-Jewish and the forage was already out, that's what's in B'chol Mokum, that even over there, we say that the child's already born and she's not going to have the laws of Leda of a Jewish woman when she gives birth. The Gemara asked on Rabbi Yechanan for the following Braisa. The Braisa says, it says by the laws of B'chor for Nachla, it says in the Pasuk Yaker, that the father makes recognition of that this child is the firstborn. Says the Braisa, Zuhakar is panim. This refers to recognizing the face, meaning the first one that the father recognizes his face is considered the Bechar for the laws of Nachla. Ve'ezehi akar is panim. What's considered recognizing the face is parts of panim, emachaitim, is the figure of the face with the nose. So that's difficult to Rabbi Yechon, who says that it's enough with just the forehead. Tani says the Gemara, no, read the Braisa arachaitim, until the nose, which is the forehead, the top of the nose is just the forehead. So the Gemara has Tashma from a Mishnah Masechtas Yevamos. Mishnah says, Ein me'idim. We don't testify regarding a person that he died, that to be able to marry off his wife, to say that your husband died, and therefore you're free to marry someone else, because maybe this wasn't really the husband. Unless they could identify and testify regarding the figure of his face with his nose, then that's a valid testimony. So you see, recognition is not just enough with the forehead, but rather has to be the whole face. So it says, no, amend it, adochetim, till the nose, just the forehead is enough to recognize a person. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring another raya. Bryce says, padachas boloi parts upon him. If just seeing the forehead without the figure of the face, or parts upon the boloi padachas, or the figure of the face without the forehead, says the Braisa, ein me'idim. You can't testify regarding a person then. Actually, you shnei me'machaitim, unless you see both with the nose. And Abaya had explained, vitam and simsi Rav Kahana, that micro, what's the pasuk that says this? It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk says, hakaris paneim ansabam. The recognition of their face will speak for them. Meaning, recognizing the parts of the panim is their testimony, will testify that this is that person. So obviously you see, that you need to have parts of panim, it's not just enough with the forehead. Now, actually the simple translation of that pasuk, the pashup shot, is actually told about by adulterers, where the recognition of the face of their children will testify regarding the adulterer, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and he made the face of the mamzer the same figure as the face of the father, thus testifying that he's the father and not the other person. But one thing is we see from this halacha to recognize, which the pasuk by Nachla says, Yaker, you need to see the whole face, Nalakar B'yechna, says the Gemara, Shani Edis Isha. The testimony regarding allowing a woman to remarry is different. Dachmir Barabanan, there the Rabbanan were more stringent, and yeah, there they required to be able to recognize the face. But regularly, Yaker, says Rabbi Yechon, like for the laws of Nachla, the forehead is enough. Now the Gemara asks, Miach Miru, did the Rabbanan really were more stringent regarding the laws of a woman remarrying than the laws of Nachla? But what's not, the Mishnah Yevamos actually tells us the opposite. The Mishnah tells us, Huchzuku Lias Masim, there was a presumption to allow a woman to remarry regarding that someone testified that her husband died and she's allowed to marry someone else. Aid me pi aid, classic situations which usually we don't allow testimony, that even if it's a second-hand testimony, or me pi isha from a woman, or me pi evit from a slave, or me pi shefcha from a maidservant, says we actually were more lenient, not more stringent. Says Gemara, no, it's not difficult. Kia kila rabbanon. When were the rabbanon lenient, like we see in this Mishnah in Yevamos we just quoted, is b'seifa, is at the end. Meaning, after those who went to check that this is that person, they were meticulous in their research, and they discovered that he's for sure the man, the husband that died. That's where the sages were lenient, at the end of the testimony, to allow the testimony to be said even by a slave or a maidservant. But betchilas, in the beginning of their testimony, meaning the actual witnessing of the dead person, loya kila rabbanan. There they were not lenient, actually there they were more stringent, until they actually recognized him very well, and therefore they required not just the forehead, but even the face, but generally like the laws of Nachla, it's enough just with the forehead. Or v'ibayisim, or if you want, says the Gemara, another answer, as we continue to talk about Mzayim and Aleph, is that yaker l'chud. The laws of inheritance just says yaker. Yaker itself is just to recognize. That is enough to recognize just the forehead, and you don't need to have, because it doesn't say the word panim, to be able to recognize the face. But v'hakar is panim l'chun, recognition of the face, that's something else. With the pasuk that we brought down, which we say relating to the allowing of the woman to remarry, which that says recognizing the face, that will testify regarding them. Yes, for that you need to have the face, but they're different wording and therefore they have different requirements, and therefore it's not difficult. And Rabbi Yechanan, who says that regarding the laws of b'chari l'nachli, disagrees with Rish Lakish, says there, even over there, just the forehead coming out would be enough to be considered the b'chari for nachla.